started today, I'm going to tell you another true story. Ray always asks me if my stories are true, and I'm like, Ray, I can't even make them up this good or this bad. I was talking with, and I'm sorry if I don't give names because I know actually some of them watch still, and so don't worry, it's not about you. I never tell a story if I don't have like three or four different examples that are going on in my life, and so some people are like, you're just talking about me. Nope. I wish I was, but there's a lot of this going on. And so this has happened a few times, but I once again had this conversation with a gentleman up in Michigan. I was a youth pastor up in Michigan for 5 years, loved almost every second of it, especially the snow. For those of you that don't like this cold weather and snow, moved to Michigan. It's beautiful up there. They got a lot more of it, and we were in an area that had lake effect snow, and so we had 6 inches before work, after work, waking up to go to work, like all the time, snow, and it was beautiful. It was amazing. You guys need more snow in this city. Anyways, yeah, I got a few people on my side, but I know. But I was talking with a kid. I still call him a kid because he was one of my kids in youth group up in Michigan. And he said, you know, Pastor Billy, I still check in, still chat with him. One of the beauties of social media is that you get to check in and chat with those who you don't get to see anymore. And so I checked in on him and asked how he was doing, asked what was going on in his life, where he was going to church. And I got a reply back that said, I don't really need church anymore, Pastor. And of course, you know me, I ask, well, why is that? And I'm sure that's not just the message that I've got. You've probably heard that message too, a time or two, in talking with others about and inviting others. And I want to say thank you for those that invited to our Christmas Adam service. That was awesome. We were able to pull off 3 services, and the majority of them all 70% plus full. And so it was awesome to be able to come together and create this new holiday with you guys. But sometimes you've heard this statement of, oh, I don't need church, right? I don't really think I need church anymore. Why should I go, right? And the good part, I guess, was the rest of this sentence where he said, you know what, Pastor, I listen to sermons online. And that's true, right? For all you online people, good morning and welcome. Way to get out of bed this morning and at least turn something on. But the fact is, you can find a lot better sermons than this one right here. I promise you, there's a lot better pastors, a lot better speakers, a lot better people than me talking here this morning. So he says, though, I listen to sermons online. I even read my Bible. And Pastor, it's not like I push God out of my life. I even pray to him on my own. So we went back and forth. And because all those things are good things, right? I too listen to sermons online. I listen to podcasts. I read books. I learn from other pastors as well. But personal Bible time, it definitely matters a ton in hearing God for yourself and meeting him right on that page, because the Word of God is alive and it wants to speak to us. And prayer definitely is essential. But they said this line, I just don't really need anyone else. See, as we've been talking about in the new, in with the new, it's been great, and it's always good to look into the new and into the 2026, and oh, yay, a new year, new me, all right, this is great. Right, we get to have all our New Year's resolutions that usually fall off within about 7 days, and here we are on the 18th day, so we can't talk about those. But what if in with the new? What if there was an out with the old that came before in with the new, just like the saying goes? Because sometimes we've confused spiritual independence with spiritual maturity. Well, I don't need them anymore. I've got me and God. I talk to Jesus. I read my Bible. I watch sermons online. Why do I need to go into a room with all those people, right? See, independence can sound really strong. Isolation even can sound safe, right? Because, you know, that last time that Gertrude blabbed your prayer request all over at the last potluck, why would we ever? going out alone can even sound efficient. Well, why do I really need to go to a place for an hour and 30 minutes, check my kids in, get them up, fight with them all the way to church and all the way back? How holy really can that be? But what I've found and what I've noticed is plenty of times independence turns into isolation. Time after time after time, isolation can be one of the fastest ways that faith begins to drift, and really how we get picked off by our enemy. And I know you're like, well, that's not going to happen to me, Pastor. It's 2026, and I'm good, right? I'm here. I'm listening to the message, right? I'm even in person. But really, even when we don't show up, we'd be like, well, we're connected, right? We live really in one of the most connected generations of all the times, right? We have so many devices that everybody can get a hold of us. We have so many profiles on so many different social platforms. We can stay in touch with everybody. But yet anxiety is up. Loneliness is up. Spiritual confusion is everywhere. See, because I think it's because connected digitally, but it's really easy to be disconnected relationally. See, when we can control just everything with our fingers, but we don't have to deal with the unknowns of what they're going to say and how I've got to handle it and how I've got to show grace when they're just being a jerk, right? We can be informed, but really not being formed at all. We can be consuming spiritual content, right? We can sit back, we can relax in our own room and be isolated away from everybody else and never practice spiritual community. Because what if faith was never meant to be consumed alone? Like the goal of following Jesus, maybe it's more than just getting information. Could it be that it's about transformation? And transformation, I believe, happens a lot in community. See, this isn't a modern problem, though. This is a problem that's happened in church for decades, for millenniums. Like, the early church was even facing this cultural confusion, this false teaching, and believers were drifting towards self-made spirituality. And so if you've got a Bible, we're going to open that up. We'll have the scriptures up here on the screen, or if you're following along in the app, like the innovationchurch.cc app, or if you need to get it, scan that QR code and text the word app. But Paul writes to this specific church, and maybe you've heard about them. It's in Colossians 2, verses 1 through 8. And Paul says, starting off in verse 1, he says, I want you to know how much I've agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea. That one may sound a little bit familiar if you're one of those people that just love flipping the pages through Revelation. Right, that's the whole one where Jesus talks about spitting the church out of its mouth, the one that's lukewarm, not in either hot or cold. That's them. It says, I want you to know how much I've agonized for you in the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by the strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand the mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm telling you this so that no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far from you, my heart is with you. And I rejoice with you that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. It says, freedom from rules and new life in Christ. In verse 6, it says, and now, just as you've accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Let your faith grow strong in truth as you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. See, last week, in with the new was out with old ways of following just relative truth and just the way I feel today. And this is true one day and this is true next. But we're going to anchor ourselves in God's word. And then we see this scripture that talks to the church and is saying, you know what? I want you to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. So you can have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan. Like, as we look at this church at Laodicea, they lived in a wealthy place. They were self-sufficient. They were a self-sufficient city that slowly taught them that they didn't need help. They didn't need help from Rome. They didn't need help from anyone, from others, or eventually even from God. They're lukewarm, right? Revelation 3:16. See, their faith mirrored their lukewarm water. Not hostile to Jesus, but spiritually useless. Comfortable and busy, yet unaware of their true condition. And they lacked urgency, they lacked dependency, and they lacked a deep connection with one another. See, when a church no longer needs God daily, it also stops needing people meaningfully. See, community weakens when we say, oh, I've got this, right? We talked about that in week one, right? Being self-sufficient. Self-sufficiency replaces interdependence. Faith becomes private instead of shared, and that's why Jesus stands outside the door, not because they were rebellious, but because isolation had quietly pushed him out. And it pushed each other out. See, Paul doesn't say, I hope you guys figure it out all on your own. He says, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be knit together by the strong ties of love. Then he warns them, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking rather than from Christ. See, Paul is really saying that confusion, it grows its fastest when people are walking alone. I don't know if that happens to you, right? You can get caught up in your own ideas. You can get caught up in your own anger. You can boil that stew and just stir it around and just go and go and think of how they did you wrong. When really, probably what you need to do is talk it over with them or a trusted loved one that's going to slap you around and say, hey, come on, that's not who they are. That's not what they mean. That's not their character. See, isolation makes us vulnerable many times to bad theology, to cultural pressure, to emotional decision-making, and spiritual just shortcuts. See, we don't have to reject Jesus to drift. You just have to disconnect from his people. So today, just in case you need me to clearly say it, it's out with the old way of just going at it alone and in with the new way of growing together. Of knowing one another, of doing life together. That's why I talk about, you know, getting involved in a serve team, right? Because you're on a team, and you have to team up against those preschoolers, I'm telling you. You do. You have to team up when you're working with teenagers. You got to team up when you're opening the doors because it's 10 degrees outside, and you have to have somebody to, like, go through this together with, right? You got to team up when you're serving the homeless. You got to team up when you're working on a project like redoing an entire stage. You got to work with others. When we do connect groups, it's so that a larger room in multiple services can shrink down to a room full of 10 people digging and walking through the scriptures together, both through each other's lives and figuring out how we can apply this to our lives. Spurring one another along. It's not really talking about getting bagels and coffee. Unless you're doing it across from one another. See, faith doesn't grow in isolation. It grows through practice and it grows through people. You know, I've got this toolbox here. And it's a nice little toolbox. But you know, if this toolbox, all this had in it was this hammer, this would be a pretty lousy toolbox, right? It'd be, oh, that's great, little hammer storage container right here. It's beautiful. It sits here. It looks pretty, and that's all it holds. But the fact is, we've got a hammer here. It's a little messy. I'm sorry about that, Rob. We got some pliers. We got some screwdrivers. We've got some utility knives. We've got, of course, the tape measure that always grows legs and walks away, right? We've even got some jigsaw bits. We've got a drill. We've got some spare batteries. Of course, you know, the thing that fixes everything in Indiana, zip ties. There's tool after tool after tool when we can open it. There's clamps. There's caster wheels. I've been looking for those. There's a whole thing of screws down here. Of course, there's the first aid kit, because that needs to be in every toolkit, right? There's tool after tool, because if any of us said, you know, hey, we're here to build a wall, and all we brought was a hammer, it's not going to go that far.
I'm here to build a wall.
No, it's not going to work that way, because you can't build a wall with just a hammer. You're going to need some nails. Right? May need some screws. You may need a straight edge, right? Why isn't this closing? Because there's too many tools. But you may need a few more things to get the job completely done. I bet you the same is true for our lives. See, the hammer all by itself isn't going to build anything. It's solid, it's shiny, it's heavy. But on its own, it's useless. What if we see faith as the same way? You can be strong, right? But without being a part of community, our faith doesn't accomplish much. Isolation doesn't kill faith instantly, though. It just slowly drains it. Slowly unable to complete what you're truly meant to do on this earth. See, Paul talks about the church being a body, but the local cadaver shop was out of spare body parts for an illustration today, so I had to go back on tools. So what about us? Like, what does this matter to us? Where does this come into play in our lives? What if we asked ourselves the question of simply, where have I been trying to grow alone what God designed me to grow together? What if there was a spiritual habit that God is placing on your heart, of whether it's reading scripture, whether it's prayer, whether it's serving, and how does that tie together with, okay, we're going to go through 2 Peter as a group so that I can see what they see, that I can hear what they hear, I can hear how God's moving in their lives, they can hear what God's doing in my life, and oh yeah, we've got to read this before next week. Right? And there becomes a little bit more discipline. When we send out the YouVersion Bible reading plan that's usually at the bottom of the sermon notes there in the app, and you say, you know what, I'm not going to do this alone. I'm going to invite a friend. Well, I don't have any friends. Well, there's plenty of them when you click on Innovation Church in YouVersion, and you can start inviting them to be your friend and say, hey, let's do this reading plan together. You might want to know their name. Like, you can go meet them. There's plenty of time before and after the service, and sometimes even during, that you can meet them. See, because this spiritual practice, spiritual habits, what if we paired it with one relational step this year? Right? Whether it was serving on a team and meeting with another person consistently and praying together. And sharing those needs and sharing how God is moving. What if it was serving together? Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love, to good works. Probably because we're not going to motivate ourselves to that, right? We may not wake up and say, I'm just motivated to do some love today, right? That may not happen. 9 times out of 10, probably not. But it says, and let us not neglect meeting together, but encouraging one another. Doesn't say, figure this out solo. Do this life, do this faith solo. It says, motivate one another. It says, encourage one another. It says, meet together. If you're new to the church, this isn't about joining a religious club. It's not about being perfect. It's not about pretending. It's about realizing we're not designed to carry life alone. See, when we isolate, How many of you guys remember Winnie the Pooh? Anybody? Winnie the Pooh? And in the Winnie the Pooh, you got Tigger. Right? You got Winnie. What else? What other characters? Piglet. Piglet? Who else? Rabbit. Yeah, he was good. Eeyore. Yeah, you said it. That's the one I was going towards. I don't know how many of you guys remember it. I was not necessarily a fan of Winnie the Pooh, and so I don't have like this library of Winnie the Pooh episodes. But I do know, and I do remember, Eeyore. Eeyore the donkey. Always found in isolation. Always his friends coming up to him. It was, that character was written like that on purpose. Because that's actually a very true telling story of donkeys. I don't know if you know that, but Eeyore's isolation made him feel sadness, made him feel a low self of worth, made him go into depression. Anybody fighting those types of things? I think God may wanting to get your attention here this morning. Say, stop doing it alone. But donkeys are very stoic animals whose isolation can be overcome with proper social support, right? Eeyore doesn't feel like he's belong. He feels like life is too hard and his self-worth is low, leading him to withdraw away from his friends. He often stays by himself looking gloomy and his depressive feelings. Now, this is a very true behavior about donkeys. Some of you remember last year when we loved doing our Easter egg hunts around here and finding creative twists to have fun with it. And so last year we brought in about 18 donkeys, and we rode donkeys and picked eggs out of baskets. And it was the donkey ride egg hunt. It was a great time. And we actually hosted our Easter egg hunt on Palm Sunday. We did 17 services. They were all like 17 minutes long. And so everybody came in, checked in, heard about how Jesus rode in a donkey for them and how there's more to that story. And then they got to ride a donkey for themselves. But one interesting thing about the donkeys is the Friday before Palm Sunday, they came in and we paid for the donkeys to do a basketball game. These are professional basketball playing donkeys. And the principal rode them, I rode them, teachers rode them, and it was classes versus classes and it was a great time. But then the owner of the donkeys had to go back to Ohio. And so she was like, well, I'm probably just going to trailer up the donkeys. And so we said, hey, we have a friend here with 11 acres, and he even has a donkey. Now, interesting thing about his donkey would hang out in the corners of the field. His donkey, if you were ever to go and visit it, would qualify as Eeyore. I saw him myself. He would just roam around, not doing anything with anybody. But when I said, hey, we can drop them off here, they can stay in this cage with this other donkey, and we get there and we open up and the donkeys run in. And this donkey jumped and was excited. He was literally jumping around the field because he had friends. Then Sunday morning when they came here and left, he went back to his depressive self. I think I actually owe the owner some money because he went out and bought another donkey just so his donkey could have a friend. And they've been better ever since. I text him actually while I was writing this and remembering this story and saying, God, how do I talk about this? And how does this make it make sense, God? And he replayed that in my mind. It's the same way for us. It doesn't take long to, while you're reading through scriptures, to come across verses like Ecclesiastes 4:9, where it says, two are better than one. As you go into verse 12, it talks about a cord of three strands is not easily broken, that we're better together. Hebrews 10:24-25, you've already heard me say that one. But Proverbs 27:17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, right? I know some of you cause sparks when you get together. That's good. You're there to sharpen one another, not to harm one another, but to sharpen one another. 1 Corinthians 12:14 through 27 talks about how the body is made up of one part, but many. It's not one part. It's many of us. Each of us have a role. Galatians 6:12, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ, 6:2. John 13:34 and 35, it says, love one another. By this, everyone you will know that you are my disciples. We can go on and on, verse after verse. It's not hidden. It's out in plain sight. But when do we start to operate in that plainly? Right? Who knows our faith struggles? Are we talking about them? Are we walking through them? Are we working through them? Who's challenging our thinking? Who's challenging our ways of life? Who do we have in our lives that will call us to the carpet? Who will spur us along when we're not moving, right? I always liked that one, just growing up in Texas, riding horses and yeah, right? Who reminds us of truth when culture gets extremely loud? Who can we go to when there's the diagnosis, when there's the accident? See, it's meant to invite us, to put us into practice. I was so both devastated and excited on Friday that we as a church could surround Zoe and his family and the Bowden family with prayer. That in just one touch, I could text 555 people, let's pray for this family. This is what just happened. And to send update after update of how they're doing. We still need to be in prayer for Lily as there's some short-term memory loss and not even understanding of thinking everything was a dream, but sitting in a bed and not knowing exactly what's going on. But church, as we can come together not only through prayer, but we can come together through service. We can come together through love. That we can lay down our burdens, that we can lay down our scars, that we can come as we are with, and be with each other. Not knowing it, not having it all together. And just focus on God. And focus on one another and help one another. Help one another with our kids, our feral children. We can love on them. We can point them towards Jesus. Because sometimes they need, not sometimes, every stinking time for some reason, they need another voice saying the exact same thing that mom and dad have been saying time and time again. And that could be your voice. Many times there's people walking in guarded. That cup of coffee and a bagel helps them lower that guard. Helps them be able to have a conversation. Helps calm the fear. Helps calm the anxiety. Could it be time to say out with the old way of going at it alone and in with the new way of doing things together? Like if we were to pick those spiritual habits and pair it with one relational step. That's why we do the U version plan. Pick a new one that goes along with the message each and every week so that we can read scripture together. Right? Because when somebody ain't read it in 3 days, you're like, hey, right? What's going on? Is everything okay? Is this scripture hitting harder? How can I help? Right? It's serving together. I mean, we've got some amazing serve team members. And I understand going at pre-K alone is probably not the best idea. That's why Amy Whistler and Nikki Bryles are back there loving on those students. They're 3 years old, to kindergarten, right now. And they're in there 4 times a month, sometimes 5, right? And sometimes it's not because they love your kids so much. It's because they love each other. And they're there for each other. They actually went to the same high school. And then saw each other at church. Weren't friends in high school, but now they're some of the best friends. Not just because they serve in the pre-K ministry, but because they survived the pre-K ministry. But they step up as a team. Nisha and Anna Bogason. stepping in with Innovation Kids. I mean, just 2 weeks ago, we got three of the four drummers here on stage. They were all one with a crowbar, one with a hammer, one with a screw gun, another one trying to make sure they all don't die, right? Dismantling why this stage has changed in heights and volume already. Truly being better together. What would take others 10, 12 hours to do alone? They had done in two. Knocked it out, stacked it up. See, picking these spiritual habits of worship. Yeah, we can rock out in the shower, we can rock out in the car, but when our voices are lifted as one, it's an amazing sound. When we give and being a part of the 5,500 lives that are saved. See, when do we pick the spiritual habit and then pair it with a relational step? Whether it be reading, fasting, journaling, community, whatever it may be. Getting the list of the sermon notes and saying, you know, what did he say here, right? Because I went too fast and you couldn't fill in all the blanks on there. Whatever it may we do it together. May we be out with the old of just isolation. I can handle this on my own. I'm going to grow in this area alone. I don't want anybody to know my struggles, my fears, my pains. But instead, I'm going to join this Pain to Purpose group. And I'm going to, yes, drum up those things that I've tried to stuff down so far. And I've even hid them from God. But he's seen them all along. And he knows why it's triggering you. And there's a community of people that want to help. So when do we start to lean in? I hope that's what in with the new looks like. Out with the old way of isolation and in with the new way of doing life better together because we're stronger together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. Jesus, we confess that many times we try to follow you on our own. That we isolate instead of invite. That we've consumed instead of connected. God, forgive us for believing that we're stronger alone and teach us how to grow together. Give us the courage to step into community. Surround us with people who help us become more like you. God, we don't want shallow faith. We want a lasting faith. And we're asking that you form us, that you shape us, and that you grow us together. And God, before we leave today, as we sit here with eyes closed and head bowed, today some of you aren't just wrestling with community. Maybe you're here and you're wrestling with faith itself. Maybe you've believed about Jesus, but you've never decided to actually follow him. Maybe it's been a faith that's been inherited. You feel like it's been something that's been passed down, but you never really chose it. It's been something that culture has done around you, but it's never been your own personal faith. Maybe it's a faith that's been familiar, but you've never actually surrendered your life. And maybe isolation, really, it isn't the root cause. Maybe distance from God is. See, the good news is that Christianity isn't about fixing yourself, if you haven't figured that out today. It's about trusting in someone who already did the work for you. Because Jesus didn't come to start a religion. He came to restore a relationship between you and his Father. The Bible says that we've all sinned, we've all drifted, we've all tried to define life on our own terms. Instead of turning away, though, God moved towards us. He sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to live a life that we couldn't live and die a death that we deserved. But then he rose again so that we could have forgiveness. Today, if you don't have all the answers, you're in the right spot. Today, you don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to walk this road alone anymore. Today could be the time just to say yes. If that's you and it's time to trust Jesus for the first time, I want to invite you to repeat this prayer after me. But don't worry, just like I said, we're better together. I actually ask us all as a church to say this prayer with those that are saying it for the first time. So would you repeat after me? If you're here today and you're ready to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, would you repeat these words? Pray, Jesus, today I realize that I can't do life on my own, that I've tried to lead myself and it hasn't worked. I believe who you say you are and that you died for my sins and that you rose again to give me new life. Today I turn away from my sins and I place my trust in you. I ask you to forgive me, to change me, and to lead me. I want to grow with people that you've placed around me. From this day forward, I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, would you put your hands together for those that just said that prayer?